Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the STEM Powered Women Podcast. I'm your host, Brittany A.J. Maricki, the founder of Sisters in STEM. If you're new to our audience and don't really know who we are, Sisters in STEM is a multimedia platform aimed toward empowering women of color in their daily lives and their passion for science, technology, engineering, and math. I created this podcast to showcase empowered women, STEM-powered women. Today, we are going to talk about your teeth, your chompers, your fangs, your pearly whites, or for some of you, your dingy yellows. Who better to lead the conversation than the newly minted Dr. Aaliyah Pringle-Aleem. She's the creator of Tooth Tuesday, and you may have come across her IGTV series on her Instagram account, Smiley. She's amazing. I told her that her videos are funny yet insightful, and I always learn something new, which is exactly why I had to bring her on the show. So let's get to it. Say hey, sis.
Hey, sis. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me. Oh my goodness. I've been a fan of your page. I absolutely love the Tooth Tuesday series, and it's been enjoyable to watch. I learned so, so much from you. And that's why everybody else had to learn from you too.
Thank you so much. That's so funny. Thank you.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about what your career path is, because the listeners may not know, but you just graduated from medical school with your dental medicine degree. You are now a licensed dentist. You are out here killing the game.
Yes.
Tell us a little about it.
Oh my gosh. It has been a long time coming, y'all. Long time coming. But finally, thankfully, after 4 years, because dental school is 4 years long, I've graduated with my doctorate in dental medicine.
Okay.
So as far as career goals or career path, I already have a job lined up. So that's exciting.
Yay!
I'll be working full time sometime in July, hopefully. That's the start date. And so this job actually came about because I have the FQHC scholarship. I'm sorry, the NHSC scholarship, where you have to work at an FQHC. So the NHSC scholarship is the National Health Service Corps. Like, if anyone asks me how I'm paying for school, what should I be doing as far as scholarships are concerned, I always point them in this direction, especially if they are already kind of interested in public health and maybe helping communities that need it the most.
Mm-hmm.
If you are just looking to make a lot of money and not really help people, this scholarship is not for you. But if you are interested in giving back and being more of an impact in your communities, then you should definitely look into it. Sorry, I don't mean to sound like a commercial for this scholarship, but like, I just really like it. I love the premise of it. Yeah, my bad.
I love it because it's guaranteeing that you're not only are you receiving help in a monetary way, but you're able to help others in much further ways than that.
Yes, exactly.
So how is it, what kind of defines the criteria of the, you know, the dental practice helping the community? Is it providing free service to the community or?
So mostly it's communities that have a limited access to care.
Okay.
Or low income, or maybe sometimes like a prison system, or even like the Indian, the national, like, the Native American reserves, or like / Indian Native American. So like areas that need healthcare access and don't have it. That's basically how you determine like where you'll be able to work. But don't get it twisted. Do not get confused. You apply like any other job. No one is placing me at a place. Like, I still have complete control over where I end up working. Just those sites have to meet certain criteria.
Okay.
And that's the criteria what I looked
gotcha.
For. Yeah. Like, you apply just like a regular job after you graduate, you get a regular salary. They just so happen to pay for your tuition while you're in school. So that's where my goals are going. Yeah.
So it won't be like a volunteer dentist without borders type thing. You're working your regular job. Okay.
Regular schmegular job. And you are still getting paid a salary, but they just help you throughout your school. And now you're going to be in a space that needs it the most.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it.
Gotcha. That's really cool. Yeah. So what has been your career path so far? What led you to this point?
So Like, do you mean like in terms of dental school? Like, where did I, like, why did I do that? Or basically like how I found the job kind of thing?
So let's take it back just a few steps, because as a fan of your page, as a fan of your page, I know that you were in journalism first. So we're gonna take it way back.
Oh, back into time. Back. Okay. Taking it way back. Woo! Here we go. All right. So
you made a switch. So let's see, what made you want to get into STEM in this instance?
I did. Okay, so wow. All right. So when I was in undergrad, I've always been the type of person the type of student that found material easy to learn. So I never really had trouble learning concepts and things like that. I've been naturally good at both, like reading, writing, arts and things like that, as well as like math and science and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I was an undergrad, I was on this whole tip, like, I think I'm just gonna like do what brings me the most joy and not care about anything else. And so I was like, I'm gonna be a creative writer. And so I decided that I was going to major in journalism, at least like give me some type of like structure.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the back of my mind, I was like, but I still maybe want to do science. I don't know. And so then I minored in chemistry and was taking journalism classes. And actually, I graduated with my journalism degree, was working as a freelance writer and all of this stuff. And then I was just like, something is missing. Mm. And so what I mean by that is like, I saw how stories were covered in the newsroom and how stories got pitched and how really it just was dependent on like your editor. Like if you were able to pitch a certain story, if they gave you the green light to go cover it, there mm-hmm. were just a lot of steps to writing the stories that I wanted to write and to tell the stories that I wanted to tell. And I was like, this feels more, I don't know, something wasn't like, everything wasn't clicking into place for me. So there was something missing. I still have a chemistry degree minor. And so then I was like, okay, I'm going to go and do my post-bac and finish the prereqs for dental school, because dental school had always like been on the back burner, mm-hmm. but I hadn't really given it much thought. And so after I had tried my hand at journalism, realized that I liked it, but there are things that were missing with like the type of impact that I wanted to make in the world. Mm-hmm. And so I went back and I was like, okay, so I did my post-bac, did all the prereqs for my dental school, and then I applied and then I got in. And I was like, well, here we go. Like, because I'm just such a big believer of like, I don't think you have to be one thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you live, hopefully, God willing, you've got to have like 80 years on this planet plus. And I just feel like you don't have to do just one thing to find meaning or to be fulfilled. So
that's so true.
I was like, I'm going to dental school. Yeah. So, but I'm kind of happy now that I've been able to combine like kind of like the communications that I learned throughout college to like build this platform in a way that is like meaningful to me. I'm able to help people like physically, really like day to day help people, and then still reach a lot of people like using like Instagram, my blog and all that other stuff. So it's been really cool. Really, nice. Really cool.
Nice. And then, so, okay, we made the decision. We're going to dental school. You have to go through the same process if you were to become a medical doctor. So you go through 4 years of med school and then have to do a specialization after that if you were to go a little. See, I've talked to a couple of doctors, so I'm just trying to piece together everyone's story.
You're not like piecing it. You are moving the pieces together, okay? Like, that's basically it. So it's 4 years of dental school, and those 4 years are pretty much broken into two chunks. So the first 2 years, mostly just didactic. We're learning everything in the body. We're learning from the brain to the toe. Like, we learn the entire body, but then we really, really, really focus on head and neck. We have head and neck anatomy, head and neck nerves, blood, all of that stuff that we learn. We actually have a cadaver lab where you dissect bodies. It's really intense. It's really intense, just for the head and neck, because we have to know the head and neck, like the back of our hand. Like we have to know this in and out.
Yeah.
So that's the first 2 years. And then the second 2 years, you're doing all of those procedures that you've been learning how to do the first 2 years. So you're working with real patients, you're doing real procedures in the clinic, getting as much experience as you can while under the leadership and like the guidance of other doctors.
So, okay.
Yeah. And then if you want to specialize, so say if you're like, wow, I really liked putting on braces when I was in dental school, I want to do orthodontics. Then you apply to do an ortho residency after you graduate. Say if your jam was root canals, you really, really rocked the root canals, then you can do an endodontic residency. So it kind of depends.
I just can't imagine that being someone's jam, but there are people who do it. So obviously.
Please don't sleep on the root canal, okay? It's actually fun to do, but just very, very tedious. So tedious. Like you have to love it.
Okay. I get what you mean. And orthodontics, I didn't even think of that as, oh, that's a, you know, go through dental school and then that's a specialization after that. So, okay, that's interesting. So if you want to become a dentist, go to dental school. You want to become orthodontist, just know this is going to take you a little extra time.
Yeah, but maybe about a year to 2 years extra.
Hmm.
Maybe 3 times, depending on the program.
Okay. Makes sense. Makes sense, because they have to make sure that they're molding your teeth into the perfect smile. I've gone through the process. I had braces, I don't know, for 2-3 years back when I was a teenager. So I'm very familiar.
Your teeth are so pretty, by the way. They're so cute.
Thank you. And your teeth are gorgeous, because you just got yours off, right?
I just got my braces off. Listen, why did I do that? Like, I this is probably not what I'm supposed to say as a dental health professional. But girl, why did I do that again? Like, because I already had braces as a middle schooler.
Oh.
I did not wear my retainer.
Mm.
And so then I had a little gap and my gap started opening up again. And I was just like, I can't do it. And so then I decided to get braces again. So.
I went to my orthodontist and mind you, he met me when I'm like 12, 13. Here I am, 26, like, doc, I need you. Like I had a gap at the top and a gap at the bottom, and my old retainer didn't fit because I didn't wear it. And he resized me, ordered me a new retainer, which I had to pay for this time because of course my parents paid for the braces, but I had to pay for the retainer. And then he wired me up on the bottom row and everything closed back. Now I'll look back at some Sisters in STEM videos. I'm like, the gap was that big. Oh, nope.
I know.
So I caught it just in time.
No shade on gaps whatsoever. No shade on diastemas, gaps, anything
Very
like
true.
That. They can be so, so pretty. They really can be. It's just a preference.
I completely agree. Because if you spent money to close the gaps, then you want to keep them closed.
You want to keep them. Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But no shade on anyone with gaps. Rock your gap, sis. Yes. Love it.
Yes. Yes.
So, okay. So we went through a little bit of your career path. We talked, is there any more that you wanted to share on your, on tidbits with dental school or mentors you may have had that could help others in their process?
So I did not have a lot of mentorship in dental school before dental school, things like that.
Okay.
So this was kind of like a thought, a whim, and I was like, I think I'm gonna go to dental school. So like I didn't have someone to ask the process. Like I really didn't. And so what I did back in 2014 was hop on Instagram and literally like search for the hashtag Black Dentist or Black Dentist or something like that. And then like Dr. Tiffany McElrath came up. And so then she was so, so, so sweet. So sweet. She was explaining to me basically so many things that I didn't even think about at the time, that I didn't even know that I would need to know at the time. I was like, wow, like this is so cool. Had I never reached out, I would never have known.
Yeah.
And so mentorship is so important. Like it is so, so important. And like, I don't know how I'm going to incorporate this later into my life or into my career later on, but I definitely want to, because like I want to be that for someone else. Like how she just decided to respond to a DM from a rando and was able to like guide me. And we still keep in contact to this day. Like, she's been a huge support, huge support.
That's so, yeah. So nice. That is super duper nice of her to take you under her wing and help you soar.
Yeah. She knew me from a bag of paint, like nothing. Like, she didn't know me from anywhere. And so she just decided to.
What is it that made you want to become a dentist? Because nobody really wants to, like, oh, I want to dig all up in their mouth. You know, they got some plaque back there. Let me help them.
Don't say don't nobody now. Come on now.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
Okay, it's a weird type of thing to go after. But so I grew up with my mom taking me to regular dental appointments. Like, I did go to the dentist. I had braces. My mom's a nurse. And so, like, we were encouraged to do things, like, in the health field. Like, I was never afraid of going to the dentist, and I was never afraid of going to the doctor or, like, the physician or anything like that. So I just felt it was cool. Mm-hmm. But my dad, on the other hand, had a completely different stance. Like, he never went to the dentist. Like, I've watched him my entire life, like, have dental issues and have dental problems. And, like, I don't know if it's mistrust. Well, rightly, mistrust in, like, the healthcare system and particularly dentists. I don't know. Or if it's fear or if it's, like, a combination. But I've seen his quality of life not where it should be, because he was reluctant to go to the dentist. And it could be he didn't have dental insurance, because a lot of folks treat dental insurance or just like dental care as like an add-on bonus, like a I'll do it if I got it type of thing. Like, oh, I have a little bit extra, I'm gonna go to the dentist. So like they don't treat it as like a core component of their like overall healthcare. And so I've seen my dad do that, and I've seen the ramifications of that. And so I was like, all right, I really can make a difference for real, like in someone's physical appearance, just like in a couple of appointments. I used to volunteer with like this organization where you make bag lunches and like take them out to like the homeless. And so like I would come into contact with people who were like 20 something missing teeth and were telling me about how hard it was to get a job and like all of this stuff. And this was when I was like still an undergrad, still on that fence of like, I want to do journalism, whatever, whatever. So like, it was always in the back of my mind that this could be really powerful and like really impactful to like take this up in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. It was like that desire to want to, man, just help the people who are afraid, who don't want to go, who've learned all of these bad things about going to the dentist, and then just hopefully like help them get over that hump. And that's kind of why I started Tooth Tuesday as well. Like, I needed the information to be accessible to regular people in a way that they could understand in a comfortable setting.
Yeah.
So like a lot of the stuff that I say on my Tooth Tuesday, you will get it if you go to the dentist. But a lot of people don't go to the dentist. And so I'm trying to like overcome that barrier to just like bring the information to where the people are, basically. Mm-hmm.
That is so, so true. Because I, just like you, my mom, she's always taking me to the dentist. I didn't really think that that was something that wasn't an option. Like, oh, don't go to the dentist. But like you mentioned, there are some people who just don't have access to that, or they've had such fearful experiences that they won't go back. Because one thing, when I was younger and going to the dentist, my mom had, since she was 5 years old, he had treated my granny, he would work on her, and then she took us to the same dentist as well. And I realized like, okay, he's a little old now. And when he would work on my teeth, it felt like he was like trying to dance on my gums with his tools. I wasn't feeling it. So we found a new dentist. And now I have a wonderful Black lady dentist who I absolutely adore. And I wouldn't switch it. You're going to be the same, just like her. Everybody's going to fall in love with you.
Hopefully. Shoot. Dang. Hopefully. That's the goal.
But I definitely think those fearful encounters or, you know, lack of access is what can deter people. But what can be those effects over time if they're not caring for their teeth?
Man, so many. Like, people don't understand that, like, the mouth is not separate from the body. So, like, if you have an active infection either in your gums or in your teeth or both, it can have systemic effects. It can affect heart health. it can affect the efficacy of some like hypertension medicines from working as well as they should be if you have an infection in your mouth. Mm. Like when I say infection, I mean periodontitis. I mean some type of like an abscess sometimes, an ulcer, like anything like that, like an active infection has bacteria. Mm-hmm. So it can affect that. It can also be a comorbidity to diabetes. All of these things are connected to the mouth and to the oral and to your oral health. And so I just want people to understand that they're linked. I actually paired up with the American Heart Association like last year and like did like a crossover where I talked about oral health and heart health. And so like that was really cool to do. And a lot of people didn't know that. I even had some physicians like DM me like, I did not know this at all. And I'm like, yes, guys, it's all connected.
I still don't even know. I didn't realize that. I'm like, yeah. Okay, I didn't realize the two. So if you're, so for the slow people in the room, so if, okay, you're saying you got a heart problem, you're going to see the effects happen in your mouth too, or like your mouth could tell you that something else is happening elsewhere.
So say that you have a heart problem, say you have high blood pressure, very common, high blood pressure, hypertension. You're taking medicine for this high blood pressure, hypertension. Having an active infection in your mouth could cause those drugs not to work as well. And so then now you're in a position where you're putting your heart health at risk because you have periodontitis.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. Okay. I get what you're saying now. That's scary. That is very scary because high blood pressure, diabetes, all that runs in our community at a high rate. So there's so many of us that if we're not taking care of our teeth and we're, you know, seeing the effects happen with those, you know, sores in our mouth and making those medicine, because like, oh yeah, I'm gonna take care of my, you know, my diabetes. I'm always gonna make sure I take care of that. But if you're not taking care of the other thing, then you're kind of canceling the two out and you're at a loss.
Yeah. And you may be having to use a higher dose of your medicine because there is no real cure for hypertension. You're just treating the symptoms. And so you may be having to take a higher dose of your medicine when you really shouldn't have to, just because of another infection that has been going on unchecked. So it's all connected, all related.
Mm-hmm. Periodontitis is tooth loss, correct?
Bone loss.
Oh, okay. I just thought of it. I was linking it to teeth and okay.
It often leads to tooth loss, but because your tooth sits in your bone. And so periodontitis is when you had so much buildup, so much accumulation of bacteria, your bone starts to disappear. And so then your tooth is just kind of left there floating. And so then eventually it falls out. So periodontitis is when you're losing that bone that holds your teeth in place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've seen people with diabetes end up having an issue with that. Is it a specific link with diabetes leading to the periodontitis? Like something within that disease more than just, you know, what we were discussing before?
Yeah. So what happens is diabetes slows healing generally in the mouth. And so if you have an accumulation of bacteria already there, say if you don't have the best oral hygiene, you have an infection, inflammation of the gums. And so because you have diabetes, your body isn't as like able to combat that inflammation and combat that infection. And so what ends up happening is that infection, which may be to some people just kind of inflamed gums, bleeding when they brush, bleeding when they floss. These are some common signs.
Mm-hmm.
That infection can cause periodontitis, which what we talked about, losing the bone, and then it can cause tooth loss.
Oh.
So diabetes like inhibits wound healing. And so your body can't really fight off all of this bacteria as well as it normally does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's very interesting. I'm also curious, what is it that when people get to the point where they're like, okay, I can't take it anymore. With these teeth I have to get dentures. I know we're young. We're not to that point, but we've probably seen our grandparents or people on TV like have to get dentures. And I remember when my granny did it, she didn't, in my eyes, she didn't have bad teeth, but she got dentures. What is it that a doctor, dentist, both same, usually says like, okay, we can't save these teeth anymore. Let's just get rid of all of them.
So usually that happens when there a few things are probably present at the same time. So you have mobility. So you have loose, wiggly teeth. So some people may have a whole bunch of teeth in their mouth, but all of them are moving. And so if you go back to what I said about the periodontitis, mm-hmm. So when that bone starts to disappear, you have mobility around the tooth because that bone isn't present anymore. So you have mobile teeth. That's a telltale sign where you're like, okay, these got to go because there's no way to save those. You have extensive decay. So you have all of your teeth. Your teeth are not mobile, but you have cavities, deep cavities in nearly every single tooth. And so when I say deep cavities, I mean cavities that, let's just say this is the height of the bone. This is your tooth. Cavities that go below the height of the bone. So the decay is all the way like past the bone, deep, deep, deep. Yeah. Mm. So there's not a lot to do to save that tooth. You can maybe do some like extensive surgeries, but for a lot of people, that's not really an option. They're like, I don't know if I want to pay to have this gum surgery and then have a bone graft and then I got to do all of this and da da da. So they're like, pull the tooth. So that's another option, or that's another like scenario as to why a dentist would just be like, okay, just it's best to just pull them all. Mm. A lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about what a healthy mouth is and what healthy teeth look like. So for a lot of people, I had a patient, one of my favorite patients, early 50s, such a sweet woman, beautiful lady, just amazing. and she was another person who had horrible experience with the dentist. Like the first time she sat in my chair, she cried. We had a whole like bonding moment. Like I've had a lot of patients cry in the chair because there's so much trauma around dentistry. Like it doesn't make any sense, but we were able to like work through it. But I had to tell her that like your perception of what your teeth are is not what's really happening. So you're thinking because you still have like maybe like six teeth in the front, you're like, they're still there. Like they're fine. Mm-hmm. But I had to show her on the x-rays. I had to walk her through it. I was like, no, ma'am. Like this is not, I could maybe save these for like another year and a half, but eventually this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather be in pain and then have to like fish teeth out. Or would you just want to just do the dentures off top?
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's at 50.
54.
That's not old. I would not expect.
I know.
I would not expect that young. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what can we, and I say we as you being a new dentist and the new dentist that you're going to inspire from just them listening to you talk, what can we do to inspire more people to go to the dentist and to try to remove those fears from them, so that way they'll like actually take their dental health seriously?
I don't think it's all on the patient. I'm going to talk to the providers now because I feel like a lot of the time, because we have such a fast-paced field, because we have such a high turnover rate, a patient is in the chair maybe an hour and then they're out and then you're seeing someone else. Seeing like 15, 20, 30 patients a day sometimes. So I would just encourage everyone to slow down just a little bit. Like you don't have to slow down the work, but slow down that meeting and talking to them, because at the end of the day, your patient is a person and like you have to talk to them. Like you have to connect with them. They have to understand that you're there to help them, help their overall health, not just collect a check or collect this bill money. Because another Like, people think dentists are just like out for money, or like, I want to change that because, oh, it's such a cringy thing. It's so cringy to me. It's so gross. But like, I don't want that to be what people think of when they think of me either. Like, that's not the type of life I'm trying to live. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to talk to your patients, patient education, and just connecting and making the effort to make the connections with the patients. Cause I think that makes all the difference. Yeah. To be honest, y'all don't know what we do in your mouth. Y'all have no idea. Like, y'all don't even see what's going on in there, but you do know how that dentist made you feel at the beginning and at the end of that appointment. So those are the times where you can make the connection and I think make the most change. I've had patients that I didn't diagnose them for hypertension, but like, just because we sat and talked a little bit about high blood pressure, we checked it. I was like, you absolutely need to go and follow up with your physician. You absolutely have to do this. And so then I've had people come back and be like, thank you for doing that. No one's ever done that before. It's just, there's just the small things, like just the small personable things. So I could talk about this all day. I'm going to chill. I get so passionate about it.
It's the quality of care. And when you feel like you've been taken care of, you're like, oh, of course I'm going to go see her again. She took such great care of me the last time. I wouldn't want to go to anyone else. And that's how my dentist right now made me feel.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. They're more likely to take your recommendations. They trust you. It's all about just connecting with your patient. 1,000%. 1,000%.
Yeah, I completely agree on that.
So I think that there needs to be an understanding that in a lot of our communities, a lot of low-income communities, a lot of communities where there are, like, I don't want to say healthcare deserts. I'm just making up a term right now. Healthcare deserts.
Sounds legit to me.
Because there are things called food deserts. I don't know if healthcare desert is a thing. We gonna roll with it. So if you do live in a low-income area, there are clinics and things available for you that will work with you within your budget. A lot of the times, those things are called FQHCs, which are federally qualified health centers. So in Chicago, we have so many. There are so many FQHCs. And so if money is a deterrent as to why you're not seeking care, just know that there are options for that. Mm. So I don't know. Yeah. If there's basically just the money option, I think is the only thing that I have, like, a concrete
and that helps. For. Because that will push someone back up automatically. Because I know that sometimes when you walk into the dentist, you're like, okay, you owe this much today. Like, why? Why do I owe this much today? So to know that options like that are out there is very helpful. Because for someone who can't afford to have a bill every time they're about to get their teeth worked on, they need to know that there is a way to still maintain that dental health.
Yeah. Exactly. And a lot of the places offer very, very, very affordable preventative services. And so preventative services are cleanings. Those are the checkups. Those are the things that keep your mouth running tip top shape. So you can do those so that you don't have to get this expensive work done later on.
Okay. No. I completely agree. And thank you for touching on those points. I know we've been keeping it a little heavy, making sure we're diving into our moral responsibilities to address these topics. But your Tooth Tuesday is all about fun. And I asked you before this what the top three questions you had got for your Tooth Tuesday. And I want to just, I want to play the role of those people. So my question to you, doctor, is how do I whiten my teeth? You know,
okay,
they're just not the brightest that I want them to be. How do I do this?
First of all, sis, your teeth are so white. Like, as soon as I got on the call, I was like, wow, her teeth are really white. Let me get my life together. But so for whitening, it's such a common question. I just did a Tooth Tuesday like live video. And so this was like, I got asked this like five times, five different ways. So first, we have to understand that everybody is different. Genetically, my teeth are not the same as your teeth. And so we have to understand that maybe there is a cap to how white your teeth can get. So once we understand that, then we're like, okay, let's move forward. So you can use over-the-counter toothpaste. You can use over-the-counter hydrogen peroxide and baking soda. You can mix a teaspoon of baking soda, a half a teaspoon of hydrogen peroxide, make it kind of like a paste, and then you can have it just kind of sit on your teeth for a little bit. Maybe I wouldn't do more than like, maybe 20 minutes. I wouldn't do more than 20 minutes.
Are you like putting on the toothbrush and like brushing it on there and then just not rinsing?
Yeah, and just kind of leave it. But the only thing about that is not necessarily brushing is because that baking soda is very abrasive. So up to a certain point, that's a good thing because that removes some surface stains, which is cool. But past that point that it's helping, it can be very, very hurtful because, okay, back to that original point of our teeth only getting so white, we only have a set amount of enamel. And enamel is the outside layer of your tooth that makes your teeth that nice, pearly, shiny white. So if you are rubbing that away with something that's abrasive, like sandpaper almost, rub, 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 you're going to get rid of that white color. And what's going to start to show through is the yellow color underneath, which is your dentin. And so, and once that enamel is gone, once that white is gone, it ain't coming back, sis. It's gone.
I didn't know that was even a thing. Interesting.
Yeah, so you have to be so careful about like very harsh abrasive materials if you're trying to scrub your teeth clean, thinking that you're like, yeah, I'm about to go ham. Relax. Calm down. So just be easy. And if you are going to use that paste, just let it sit on your teeth and then rinse it off. Gotcha. But yeah, I am a huge proponent of toothpaste that are already built in to have whitening capabilities, use the white strips, use the things like that. And then if you like, okay, I'm going to do a little bit extra, go to your dentist, have your doctor put on in office whitening, do that.
But which costs extra,
right? It does.
Okay.
It does. And it's usually not covered by any insurance because it's just purely aesthetic. So just know that your teeth, even after all of this, I need people to understand me and hear me when I say this. Even after all of this, your teeth still may not be as white as you want it to be. And you just got to go to God and be like, this is how you made me. This is as white as my teeth are going to get. And be like, okay, so now maybe it's time for other things like veneers and crowns and all that stuff.
Gotcha. So, okay. Yeah.
That was a long answer. I'm so sorry.
Woo. Don't be sorry. Okay. That was a great answer. And addendum, is it a myth or is it truth that the coffees, teas, and all those things under the sun will cause those stains?
Absolutely.
Okay.
1000%. Yeah.
You got to be careful, sis, when you're going to Starbucks every day. Just know that your smile just not bounce back from it.
So to help with that, I suggest people drink through a straw. And it may seem so crazy and or bougie to drink your coffee through a straw or to drink your wine through a straw. But that red wine stains your teeth. The coffee stains your teeth. Tea stains your teeth. So if you want to help your body circumvent that staining, use a straw. And the philosophy behind that is that you're not swishing it around in your mouth.
Okay.
So yeah. When you drink, you're like a little bit, but this way, straight to the back of your throat.
Interesting. See, and that's what I do when, so I'll drink diluted apple cider vinegar. So, you know, mix the apple cider vinegar with water. Supposed to have health benefits, whatever else they may be. I'm just copying off my parents. And when I drink it, when I looked it up, it said that it can get rid of your enamel because it's so abrasive like that, that when I drink it, I'll drink it and I'm like basically taking a shot. I'm like, okay, don't let it touch your teeth. And then I rinse my mouth out fully, like immediately after I finish the bottle. Cause I'm like, I'm not playing these games. I need this enamel.
Yes. It's gone. It's never coming back. It's over. So that's crazy. Yeah, that's a perfect point. Yeah.
Interesting. All right, doctor. The next question is, how do I stop getting cavities? Now, in my own perspective, I've been blessed to never have had a cavity. I will knock on whatever wood I need to, but I know there are people out there who have been plagued with cavities. Not to put anybody on blast, my sister, she went to the dentist one time and she came back with 13 cavities. I was like, huh?
Yeah.
How are we doing this? But she loves gummy candies. And so that put her in a bad situation. And you got to be careful with those.
Me and your sister. Wow. I love gummy candy. I love it. It is probably the worst candy that you can have. I love sour gummy candy. So like,
that's her.
Not just like gummy bears. I like Sour Patch Kids. I like sour straws. I like all the things that are like, you know, mm-hmm. which is probably so much worse. I'm not probably, it is so much worse. Let me tell you why. Girl, y'all ready? Are y'all ready for this? Okay. So, what makes the cavity is not the sugar. It is the acidity. So it is the acid that breaks down your teeth. Okay. So the sugar feeds the bacteria that's just normally hanging out, chilling in your mouth. The bacteria usually doesn't have a lot of food, but when you dump sugar, like eating chocolate and candy and all this stuff, the bacteria processes the sugar and the end result is acid. And so that acid from the bacteria is what causes the cavity. So when you are eating acidic candy, you're just like dumping bad on top of bad. Yeah. So you're already helping the bacteria by giving a whole lot of sugar and then you add an acid on top of it. So the cavity comes from the acid. And so the bacteria can just continue to eat away more acid, eat away more acid, eat away more acid. And then you have a very deep, deep cavity. Mm. And that's what happens. So to stop getting cavities, few things. If you have the sugar bug and you're just like, I got the shakes. Like I need my sugar fix. Okay. Make sure that you are only eating the sugar, like not constantly throughout the day, just maybe at one time throughout the day, just once, or maybe once and twice. And then after those two times, those two designated or that one designated time, make sure you rinse your mouth out with water. Mm. Rinse your mouth with water. Rinse, 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 rinse. Don't brush right away. You have to wait 30 minutes to brush. So I know people are like,
wait,
why?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. So you rinse your mouth out, wait 30 minutes and then brush because it's all connected. So the mechanic, like, okay, let me say this in like not dentist terms. Okay. So your toothbrush is scrubbing away at your enamel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if your oral environment is already kind of compromised and your enamel is kind of weakened because of the acid that's there, mm-hmm. you're scrubbing that acid into your enamel, which is taking it away. Like it's helping the bacteria get deeper into your tooth. Mm. So you have to let your mouth neutralize a little bit. You gotta wash the bacteria away. You gotta wash the acid away. You gotta let your mouth do its thing, buffer, you know, get back on track, and then brush your teeth. So that usually takes about 30 minutes after you eat any meal.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. I definitely wouldn't have thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we all know what a cavity is, but it's essentially a hole in your tooth, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I know that they'll show like the, you know, x-rays. They'll show x-rays and then it's pretty much just showing where your weak points are, and that would be those cavities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Yeah, we don't want holes in our teeth.
Gotta cut that out. I know I have a cavity. I know I'm a dentist. Oh my God, I have a cavity. I know. So I know I have a cavity because when I eat something sweet, I can feel it. Like I feel like a little like a twinge and I'm like, oh my God. So I know that I have one. And I feel like it's been there for like a pretty long time. I'm pretty sure.
Why haven't you had it fixed?
Pretty sure. Cause okay. I had braces and so like it's kinda hard to get your thing fixed while you have the braces on. And so then I was like, oh, cool. I'm just going to have my friend fix it in school when I'm done with my braces. And then COVID happened. And then I'm like, okay, well, now I have to wait. And so the whole thing, guys, whole thing.
And now, you know, other one. Good and well, you should not have been eating those gummy candies while you had braces. That is already like rule number one. No, rule number one is no hard, like candies, chips, all that stuff. Rule number two is probably no gummy candy.
What are you gonna do? Hey, that is what it is.
So I didn't realize that that's what it felt like a twinge, like, that I got
yeah,
candy
it's
in
like
there.
A little like a shock, like, whoop. Yeah, because you're not supposed to feel like you bite into anything, but sometimes when you do, you're like, oh, yeah, that's a cavity.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, doctor. Next question. How do I prevent bad breath? Now, I'm not speaking for myself. I am good. I am
okay.
No bad breath over here. I'm asking for a friend.
Okay. It's going to sound so basic, but the basics usually, you know, they really get you through. So what you first need to be doing is flossing. So I know that that probably people are not like connecting those two, but the areas of your teeth that you see when you smile are only, they're not even half of your tooth surface area, basically. So in between each tooth is like an area where old food and bad breath causing bacteria can hang out. And so if you're not cleaning that stuff out, it can cause a smell. I've done cleanings on people. I've done deep cleanings on people where I'm flicking away stuff and I can literally smell it through my mask. Uh-uh. I'm like, they are not flossing. So, so you have to floss. Another thing is just scrape your tongue, like clean off your tongue, clean off your gums. That's why it's important to have a soft bristle toothbrush, because when I'm brushing as well, I also brush my gums. Like I get the vestibule. I brush everything.
The vestibule?
My bad. Sorry. I'm so sorry. So it's the space between your hard gum and your cheek. So like I get all up in the corners, get all up in there. Okay. Just with my toothbrush, real soft. Okay. And then you also have to use mouthwash. So mouthwash is super important. It fluoride mouthwash. So that mouthwash is super important because it can also help you with combating cavities and it can aid in fresh breath. So you get like a twofer. And another very important thing to note though, when you're using mouthwash, fluoride mouthwash, do not rinse it, because you want that fluoride to sit on the surfaces of your teeth as long as possible. So don't rinse the mouthwash after you use it.
And when I heard you say that in a Tooth Tuesday, I was completely shooketh, because my first thought is, okay, I did my mouthwash. I did a good thing. Now let me rinse it out and keep it pushing. But no, it's supposed to sit in there and let it do what it do. And I have not been letting it do that. I am I'm also guilty when it comes to the flossing too, because that's not something I think, oh, let me do this. Cause sometimes when I floss, I'm like, all right, I don't see anything coming out, but is just the motion of doing it also helping? Like there, you may catch something every once in a while. I don't like, I'm good at brushing. That's why I don't see anything on it.
Yes,
and I know I'm not the only one. So don't nobody come for me.
No, I'm not gonna come for you, because honestly, we're going to keep it a buck. We're going to keep it all the way, because I feel like I can trust you and all of the listeners out there.
Yes.
I did not use the floss. I was like, this hurts. Why am I flossing? This is stupid. So before I started dental school, I was like, there's literally no point to floss. But then once I learned what can happen if you don't floss, i.e. losing your teeth, you can lose your teeth by not flossing. I was like, oh, hey, hold on, wait a minute. Let me floss, because it's not that deep and I want to keep my teeth. So I didn't used to floss, and now I floss every day, because I'm like, if I don't, it feels gross. And so if anyone's listening or if anyone's watching, and if you have bleeding gums when you floss, or you have bleeding gums when you're brushing, that means that your gums are most likely inflamed. I'm excluding pregnant women, people on like certain drugs. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking about just the regular people who aren't pregnant, who aren't on any like serious medications. You probably have some type of gingivitis, which is just like inflammation. What will get rid of that is flossing.
Okay. Yeah.
Push through. Gotta push through. It's going to bleed the first 2 to 3 days. You're going to be like, this hurts. Nothing's getting better. But then on like that fourth, fifth day, the bleeding is going to go away.
Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what happens with me. And when I have flossed and it bleeds, and I'll tell my dentist like, oh my God, it's all blood. And she's just like, when it starts to bleed, you know, that's when it's, you know, getting closer to time for you to see me. Cause I go see her, what is it? Every 6 months, I think we see her. Yeah. And so she's like, yep, that means it's getting close to that time when you need to come back and see me. Because I was definitely taken aback, you know, just brushing or just flossing and seeing that happen. Why is my tooth bleeding? I didn't do anything to you. This is normal. We do this every day.
Yep, exactly.
So I'm glad you point that out. That's very helpful. So yeah. For all of you yuck mouths out there, like these are just a few.
Hi, yuck mouth.
That's what my mama used to call it. She, when I was little, she said, you're like, oh, you got a little green monster in there. Let me brush it out. And so that's how she taught me how to brush. She would pretend like there were little yucky things all happening. So yeah, you gotta brush it all in there.
Yeah, any way you can to help these babies.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them any story you got to tell them to make it a normal occurrence to brush and take care of your teeth.
Yeah. How young is it when, you know, you start going to the dentist?
So you should go to the dentist when you have your first teeth. So
what?
When
like a two-year-old? Like
yes.
One, two?
Yes. Yeah. So normally a baby gets their first teeth around 6 months to a year. So you should see your dentist anywhere between the baby's first tooth and the baby's first year birthday. And I know you may be thinking, y'all are doing too much. What are you even going to be doing to this baby tooth? The baby got one tooth in the head. What are you doing? So that appointment is mostly just for... So silly, I'm sorry. So that appointment is mostly for parent education. Getting the baby used to showing up to some place to have their teeth looked at. It's all about establishing healthy patterns for the child and for the patient and for the parent. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So when at that appointment, the doctor will tell you what you should be doing, how much toothpaste you should be manipulating on your baby's tooth or teeth to clean, what you should be doing as far as like bottles go. Should you be sending the baby to the bed with a bottle? All of these things, all of these things will be discussed at those appointments. And so then it gets the baby in the groove and be like, okay, this is something that we will be doing going to the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it gets the parent on board with being like, all right, this is how you take care of your baby teeth. Because people think baby teeth are throwaway teeth. Like they're like, oh, these teeth don't count. These are the demo teeth. No, like these teeth, very important. Like, and if you lose them early or if you get extensive like decay or like a big old cavity on one of them or a couple of them, mm-hmm. it can affect your permanent teeth.
Mm. Is it true that if you leave the baby on the bottle for too long or if they start sucking their thumb, that it'll mess up their teeth?
Yes. So in a lot of cases, people or little kids who suck their thumb, it's more than just their teeth that'll be messed up. So so your teeth are supposed to come together like this.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're sucking your thumb, like you're forcing your teeth from going like this to going like this.
Ooh.
So you'll see those kids that have like their teeth, the top of the teeth, like a rainbow, almost like the shape of their teeth look like it goes like up instead of like down. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
kind of angling it outward.
Exactly.
You know, because of where the motion of the thumb.
Yeah. And so it creates pressure. It also elongates the child's head. Like it messes with a lot of like the skeletal growth.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I always tell my friends, like, if your kid has like a thumb sucking habit, nip that in the bud ASAP, because it's going to save you a lot of money on the back end when you're trying to get this kid your braces and all this stuff, headgear, all of that. So It can mess with like the, wow. Yeah, it's a lot.
Wow. Interesting. Yes. Okay. Right. Yeah, so that was one of my random questions that just came just as we're as we're chatting. Yeah. But I appreciate all of this. This is such valuable information and I love learning it, and especially from you. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show. I say us because I'm saying the collective of all of the sisters who will be inspired by you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Like when you asked me to do it, I was just like, oh my gosh, of course. Like, cause I think the whole concept of your platform is dope. Like, I don't feel like there's enough just like Black women or just sisters or women of color, like being highlighted in mm-hmm. these areas, in these fields. So I love what you're doing. More power to you. Nothing but respect for what you're doing. So thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Aw, yeah. Thank you so much. And tell all of the lovely people where they can find you.
So currently I'm on Instagram at smile.lee. So that's SMILE.LEEY. Because my name is Aaliyah, so smile.lee, smile.lee, you know, all that.
Super cute. I love it. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of the STEM-Powered Women Podcast. I hope you learned something from our discussion that you'll be able to share with others. Visit sistersinstem.org for podcast episodes, stories and advice from your sisters, and much more. Make sure you follow us at The Sisters in STEM on all social media. You can also find me on Instagram at Brittany A. Joy. Whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your shows, please subscribe so you'll know exactly when a new episode drops. And while you're at it, go ahead and give us 5 stars and leave an awesome review to show your sister some love. Remember, sis, you are an empowered woman, a STEM-powered woman. You've got this. I'll see you on the next one. Bye.